Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Bet, just like we mentioned, exceptions to the rule about cutting hair on Chol HaMoed and less Mishnah. We'll also mention that there are exceptions to the rule about laundering on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah here will list the exceptions to the rule. What type of laundering is allowed during Chol HaMoed because of unique circumstances, Mishnah says. Ve'elu mechabesin ba'moed, these are the ones who are allowed to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed because it was very difficult for them or they could not do so before Yom Tov. Haba Medinat Hayam, somebody who comes from overseas, Umibet HaShevia, or he's released from captivity. V'hayotze Mibet HaAsurin, somebody who leaves prison. V'hamenudeh Shitiru Lo Hachamim, or somebody who was put under a excommunication by the rabbis and is only now having the ability to get out of that excommunication. V'chen Mishinish Al Hacham, V'hutad, somebody who asked a rabbi to undo a vow that he made, that he wasn't allowed to wash his clothing, and he was only released from that vow on Chol HaMoed, or right before Yom Tov, but he didn't have a chance to launder his clothing. All of these people are allowed to wash their clothes on Chol HaMoed, because they couldn't do so beforehand. Now we'll list items that are allowed to be laundered on Chol HaMoed for everybody. Mitbehot HaYadayim, towels that are used to wipe hands during a meal. Umitbehot HaSaparim, towels that are placed over a person's shoulders when they're getting a haircut. And thirdly, umitbehot ha-sepag, bath towels. All of these three types of towels are allowed to be laundered on Chol HaMoed because they get dirty very much. And they, even if you wash them before Yom Tov, you can have to wash them again and again because they're going to get dirty on Chol HaMoed as well. When we're talking about the apron or the towel that a barber puts over the person's shoulders that he's cutting, we're talking about that a person is allowed to, the barber is allowed to launder it because he's allowed to cut hair, like we mentioned in the last Mishnah, for the people who are permitted to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed. We'll mention here also people who are allowed to launder their garments on Chol HaMoed for other reasons. Hazavin v'hazavot v'hanidot v'hayoldot, zav and azava are types of people who have a discharge, and that type of discharge would make the clothing that they're wearing dirty. And also somebody who is a nida, somebody who is a person in nida, a woman in nida, and a yoledet, a woman who gave birth, they dirty their clothing from the discharge that they have. Ve'chol ha'olin mitum'ah le'taharah, and anybody who goes up from a state of tum'ah to a state of tahara, and part of that is they have to wash their clothing. Part of that process is they have to wash their clothing when they're becoming tahor. And they weren't tahor when the holiday started. They're only becoming tahor on Chol HaMoed, so they can also wash their clothing. Hare elu mutarin, these people are permitted to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. Ushar kol adam asurin, and all other people are forbidden. They are not allowed to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. The next few Mishnayot will talk about writing on Chol HaMoed. Writing is a melacha, not allowed to write on Shabbat. You wouldn't be allowed to write on Chol HaMoed either. We'll plug that in 1 second. We know that things that are lesorech HaMoed, things that are for the purpose of the holiday, are allowed to be done. But even when doing that, they are not allowed to be ma'ase uman, they're not allowed to be done in a professional way, unless they're a davar ha'aved, unless you're going to lose money if you don't do that, if you don't do it in a professional manner. So when talking about official documents that have to be written, they would usually be asur. Can't write documents because they are a ma'ase uman. You need a professional to do it, a scribe, somebody who knows what they're doing in terms of writing. That's a regular case of ma'ase uman. But this Mishnah will list exceptions to that rule because of that clause of davar ha'aved, that you want to prevent financial loss. These documents that we're going to list are allowed because there's going to be some sort of financial loss or personal loss if they're not written on Chol HaMoed, Mishnah says. Ve'elu kotvin b'moed, these documents are allowed to be written on Chol HaMoed. Kiddushei nashim, documents for a marriage. If a person doesn't write the shtar, the contract, in order to marry a woman, somebody may jump ahead of him and he's going to lose out on the opportunity to marry her. So it's considered to be a davar ha'aved, something he'll lose out on if he doesn't jump on. Gittin, a bill of divorce. A divorce is allowed to be written on a day of Chol HaMoed, because if you have a situation where a husband has to leave on a journey that may be dangerous, We're nervous that he's not going to return home. So what does he do? He wants to write his wife a get before he leaves in the event that he disappears, and that would now allow her to get remarried if he doesn't come back. If he leaves without giving her a get, she could remain an aguna. She could remain a chained woman forever. So we want to make sure that gitin are allowed if the husband is leaving on a trip. So they're allowed to be written on Holam Moed. Veshovrin, a receipt of repayment of a loan. If we don't allow a person to give the person who took a loan from him a loan, a receipt for when he paid back his loan, the person may say, you know what, I'm not paying you today. I'm nervous that you're going to claim that I never paid you. And then that person's going to disappear and the person may not ever get his pay. So the moment that we see that a person who lent money from somebody, the moment he wants to pay, we say, let him pay, and we'll even allow a receipt to be written on Chol HaMoed. Also, we allow, Mishnah says, diyatiket. Diyatiket is a gift by somebody who is lo alenu, very ill. He's bedridden. He is about to die. When a person dies, all the laws of inheritance kick in no matter what. And he may not want to have the laws of inheritance divide up his property a certain way. So he wants to give away his property, transfer his property while he's still alive. But we are pressed for time. Person may pass away at any moment. So they allow it to be done by oral declaration alone. You don't need any real kinyanim in order to transfer the property like you would under a regular circumstance. But you have to have some sort of document written down with edim that records the transaction that went on to make sure that there's no funny business going on, that nobody claims differently. We allow this document to be written on Chol HaMoed because you may have the witnesses leave town right after the holiday and there's going to be a mix-up on what happened with this person. Also, a matanat shchiv mena, when this shchiv mena, this seriously ill person, is giving away property, that giving it away only works if the person actually dies. If he doesn't die, then the property goes back to him and it goes into the laws of inheritance. But that's not for now. It's a whole topic. Also, a matana. Somebody gives a gift and they want to write a document to show that they are giving the gift. We allow that document to be written. We're talking about property over here because we're nervous that if there's no document, then the person now possesses that property. After the holiday, the giver is going to regret giving it. He's going to deny that he did in the first place because there's no, and they say there's no proof, and there'll be a loss to the other person who received the gift. And prosbolin, a prosbol, is a document that prevents a loan from being canceled in the Shemitah year. That's the halacha. All debts are canceled out, and then people, unfortunately, refuse to lend that money in the close to the Shemitah year because they're nervous that their debts aren't going to be repaid and then they'll be canceled. So Hachamim came up with a mechanism that transfers the debt to a bet din, and that debt doesn't cancel out. Only individual loans would cancel out, and it gives the person the opportunity to collect on his debt even after the Shemitah year. A pirus bol is allowed to be written in Chol HaMoed because the person who's lending money may not find a bet din after the holiday. And also igrot shum, a letter of evaluation on somebody's, how much a person's property may be worth, so that a lender could collect a loan from it. If a person doesn't have the money to pay back a loan, they could take his piece of property. We're talking about a situation here where the loan document was ripped up. Before a piece of property was transferred over, they rip up the document that attested to the loan. They transfer over the piece of property. So we're talking about here, if the document attesting to the loan was already ripped up, then they could write out that a certain evaluation of this property was the following, and that serves as proof that the person who gave out the loan originally can now take that piece of property. The igrot mazon, if there's a letter that testifies that somebody agreed to support his stepdaughter. He marries a woman and he's agreeing as part of that he's going to support his stepdaughter. That is to be written down. That's allowed to, because if they don't write it down, then you may not have witnesses after the holiday. So that see all this going on. So we want to make sure that we have clarity that he's going to support his stepdaughter. And also, shtare halitza ume'unim. Halitza, if a widow of a childless man wants to not do yibum, she doesn't want to marry her brother-in-law, she wants to, the halitza is happening, then she has to have a shtar that shows that halitza happened. That's the whole mechanism that allows her to get remarried to somebody else. And also mi'un. Mi'un is if you have an underage girl and She lost her father. Father passed away. Then her brother or her mother have the right to marry her off on a rabbinic level while she is underage, while she's still underage, in order to hope that she doesn't get taken advantage of by other people or mistreated. They give her over into another family and she becomes part of that family. She marries somebody of that family, but this young girl is allowed to annul the marriage at any time. Since the mother and the brother, the marriage that they gave over, they don't really have rights to give her over, only on a rabbinic level, so therefore the marriage could be undone, it could be annulled. Anytime she goes to a Bet Din while she's still underage and tells them she wants to undo the marriage, they would undo the marriage. That's called mi'un, and we allow a document to attest that she annulled her marriage and is now permitted to remarry somebody else to be written on Chol HaMoed, because who knows how timing works. She may not get to another Bet Din after the holiday, and by that time she'll be a gedolah, she'll be an older woman, she'll reach that age of maturity, and she won't be able to do mi'un, and she'll be actually stuck to this person for a long time, till he either divorces her or till he dies. Ushtare berurin, if a person is in a situation where he's in a dispute with somebody else over money, the way that they choose a bet din is that each side would choose one judge, and you need three for a bet din, and then those two judges together would pick a third. So after the judges have been agreed upon, we want to write it all down because nobody could back out of their choice after it's all written down. And also, Gezerot Bet Din, a edict of the court. We want to make sure that no one forgets what the court decided, so that's allowed to be written down. The Igrot Shel Reshut, permissible letters, that means social letters between friends. A social letter between friends is not usually written with a Ma'ase Uman. It's usually written by people on their own. So therefore, it's considered to be permissible as well. It is lesorech hamoed because it adds a certain good feeling when people and friends are writing to each other socially for the sender and also the receiver. Therefore, it's allowed to be written on chol hamoed.